We don't drive manuals anymore. We don't have manual AC in cars anymore. We have all these things to assist us to ease our life so that we can concentrate on more intuitive problems. And that's what humans should do.
Welcome to the Joint STEM Initiative podcast produced by Queen City Robotics Alliance. Now here's your host, Kaiwen Chen.
Hello, this is Kaiwen Chen, your host for this podcast. This episode is a little bit about automation, a little bit about starting a business, and a little bit about career. I have worked with several engineering firms specialized in different areas. Most of them are small businesses. All of them are really smart. And they are working on things they love and having fun at the same time. I'm kind of jealous of them. Earlier this year, I got an opportunity to interview the founder of Seymour Advanced Technologies here just outside of Charlotte. We chatted about his business and his belief in finding talents. I love the part when we talk about the mix between humans and the machines. His insight is spot on that we humans should focus on being the problem solvers. Here's our conversation.
So my name is Rob Seymour. My title is founder and CEO of Seymour Advanced Technologies. The company that I founded is used to bring the new technologies, be it IoT, Internet 4.0, robotics, computer vision, inspection, to the end user with the most return and beneficial attributes of a machine being predictability, quality control, and reliability to produce their product. It comes in many forms. We do a lot of custom automation. Customer comes, brings us a pile of parts, asks us how we can put them together for them. We have a holistic approach to solving that problem for them that leads into some design alterations that help for manufacturing, along with trying to get them the most suitable machine that can predict how the assembly is going to go and give them feedback, either by speed, performance, attributes, measurements, loads, and monitoring of these parameters that they'll be able to predict that the machine needs to be serviced at a certain time. The machine is going off the normal run, is starting to have some necessarily hiccups along the way, either due to the machine or maybe a new part was introduced that the tolerances aren't the same as they were prior. So instead of waiting for the machine to go down and a red light to show up and everybody stand around wait for the machine to, you know, get serviced, we're there to try to tell them, hey, this is about to come around. You might want to set a service time for maybe this weekend, maybe in a few months, so that you're not surprised by events that come along.
Can you tell me more about custom automation?
Sure. So automation itself, right, is trying to take the monotony, the repeatability, the unintelligent actions that a machine performs or a person performs, and allows that to be repeatable through mechanical, electrical, software, pretty much all the engineering fields to complete a task in the end. Custom automation is when there's no product that solves that end result from beginning to end, either A to B, B to C, what have you. And you've got to figure out what parts and pieces that are out there available for use that will be able to fit some of the attributes of the machine to get to the end result. You right now, like there's a bunch of six axis robots out there. They're pretty familiar. Cobots have come along to help to gain a better interaction with the person and the machine so that, you know, nobody gets hurt. But if the robot can't do it itself and you need more movements or more distance, you just don't necessarily go get one bigger robot to do it. Sometimes you go smaller and multiply them along the path. All right. So they work in series or they work in parallel with each other to accomplish putting multiple pieces together rather than one sitting there and just running the whole batch by itself. I'd say that's maybe like a generic custom automation explanation.
Then we chatted about how people are afraid of losing their job to robots when talking about automation. Rob focuses on what people need to realize, their role in the whole integration. It is not about being replaced. It is about what is the role humans need to play in the future. Take a listen.
That's right. And kind of go back on your statement there, you know, humans are the best problem solvers. And when you have that as your, you know, your line of sight, you're always trying to make it better and better and better, which leads you to not be repeatable. You always go, let me try this and see if it works. Let me try this and see if it works. Machines don't do that. So it's not replacing humans with machines. It's giving humans additional tools to do better work or to ease their workload and focus more on problem solving, right? We don't drive manuals anymore. We don't have manual AC in cars anymore. We have all these things to assist us to ease our life so that we can concentrate on more intuitive problems. And that's what humans should do. After they've figured it out, let a machine take over and let them move on to another problem.
That makes perfect sense. There's no shortage of needs for problem solvers. Let's use your robot as a help so we can focus on becoming the problem solver. Since there's no shortage, then there should be no fear of being replaced. We switch our conversation to career at that point. If you check out Rob's resume, he was doing pretty well in his career, just like a lot of people, myself included. We wonder why people change their career and start a company. This is what he has to say.
I've had been fortunate to have a lot of different positions in different companies, from startups all the way to a very large scale manufacturing companies. Been able to work with a bunch of different divisions in them, and it's always interested me back to solving the problem, right? Where are our bottlenecks? How can we better communicate? How can we solve what we're doing and not put band-aids and have ourselves cause more problems than we're starting? So when the opportunity came to me and I had the ability to put my money where my mouth is, that is what launched Seymour Advanced Technologies. It was, hey, if I had a clean slate and I was able to put processes in place that I have found throughout my career, could I make something more effective and more efficient for the end user and have a better customer experience with them being involved? Nothing thrown over the wall. Hey, this is what we have at it. You know, we solved the problem, but they didn't really understand the full problem that the customer had. I think that I really enjoy the engineering, even though my task is not that right now, but being able to look back and see different viewpoints or perspectives that allow you to understand where people are coming from. I thought that I might give it a try, if that that makes sense.
I kind of figure it must be stressful to run a business, right? So I ask, Rob, what makes you lose sleep at night?
The only thing that really makes me nervous or, you know, lose sleep are the unknowns. Everything can look great on paper. Everything can work great once, but it's having the insight to produce a repeatable, effective, efficient machine for somebody. So the biggest thing that I really run into is making sure that people that we kind of buy product from sometimes, and that's not good or bad or what have you, is just making sure everybody holds up their end of the bargain. Because you can have a great plan, but even with a project that we're working on now, one vendor hasn't shown up with a part, and it's been a while. So that's going to make me start losing sleep. It's like, what's my alternative? What do I do? You know, engineering, maybe you've heard the phrase before, the belts and suspenders. Yeah, I got you at work that way. Where is your parallel path? How can you jump off of one and onto the other and still not lose progress? Or the least amount of it. So it is really making people, you know, be accountable and say what you do, do what you say. I think if we just got that, if everybody, if a large majority of people could hold to that and didn't oversell, I think we'd be all right. But yeah, right now that, and I'm not positive if that was the answer you were looking for, but if something makes me lose sleep at night, it's worrying about people doing exactly that.
That is the answer I'm looking for. So the unknown, right? But I suspect as the owner of the business, I think one of the solutions you want to have is you surround yourself with the people who can reduce the degree of unknown, right? So let's say I'm going to send this podcast for a bunch of students, high school students, okay? We want to develop them, become the people you want to hire to surround you, right? So what's the advice you would have then to say, or the advice for their educator, say, help them learn this. So they will be a better person that can I can hire to surround me so I can reduce the degree of uncertainty.
So, you know, you got to be accountable. You got to want. You've got to not wait to be given. You've got to go get. And that's not to, you know, trample on other people or do other people's job. That's not it. The function is the customer experience and building the best thing we can build. You've got to want that. You can't hope it happens. Hope is not a controlled course of action. You know, so I've got to have the want. I'd say that's top. Be accountable. Maybe number two, problem solve. You can always help problem solve. You can't push rope. You can't make people not do the stuff that they want to do. I don't know where you learned that. I grew up with my father. He had a paving and construction company. So I grew up paving driveways. It's a hard, hard job of the due date and day out. Yeah, it's hard. It's absolutely hard. But you know the people that don't try to make excuses to come to work. They're just there. And mm-hmm. They want to work. They want to prove themselves every day on what they do. And I'm not saying paving is going to get you there. I'm just, it really breaks apart the ones that believe they should be given and the ones that are kind of like, hey, I've got some career goals or just goals and I want to get them done. Those are the ones I want because the education and experience are available really to anybody that wants it.
Then I asked Rob, so he has worked for so many years and knows what kind of people he wants. Would he tell his younger self to do anything different about his career?
Even with my stumbles sometimes, I would definitely repeat what I did. I think that it really separated my perspective, my ability to build a perception on what's going on because of the different steps I've taken. And that's not to knock any other discipline or anything else or say that it's not equal or lesser or greater value. But when you go and design a product, you've got to know with a high probability on how it's going to fail. You've got to be able to have some real world situations where you can draw on and say, all right, this product acted this way. This one did this. If I do this, here's my possible result. And I didn't really see a lot of that with ones that just, you know, got out of high school, added four more years, a degree, and went off. There's this that loss of examples. And it's not that they don't gain it. You know, I've seen just for mechanical aspects, I've seen a lot of hands-on engineers. I've seen a lot of hands-off engineers. I've seen people that can't get away from engineering. And I'll put my hands up on that one. That just thoroughly enjoy the activity, the function, the problem solving. So I think you got to really put yourself in, you know, what do you want at the end? Is yours to process equations, verify that they're right, and then be done? Are you the one that's going to go out on the shop floor, get your hands involved in what's going on, be able to assess the situation, or even the one that's going to go make the prototype part and test it out yourself? You know, coming out of high school, you might not know which to do. And you might not have the luxury of choosing different events. But I think doing the associates, going out in the field and working for a while, going back for the bachelor's and master's, going out back out in the field, there's just some aspects that, you know, people haven't seen that add a benefit to my perspective.
So there you have it, the conversation with a successful small business owner. We got a great perspective on our role with automation and robots, being the problem solver, not just a doer. We also talk about find your wants and become the kind of person that leader wants to have on their side. Career may not be a straight line, but if you know your wants, then you will get to where you want to be. With that said, we will see you next time.
This podcast is produced by Queen City Robotics Alliance with the support of Charlotte Area STEM Societies. Queen City Robotics Alliance, also known as QCRA, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization whose mission is to nurture the future workforce by providing practical, hands-on STEM experiences for area youth. QCRA is home for several high school and middle school robotics teams, where students learn how to run their team like running a business. Together, students develop outreach programs to spread STEM knowledge and training to encourage kids from all backgrounds to discover how to reach their full potential in STEM fields. QCRA is sustained by volunteers and sponsors like you, and we invite you to join us to help build a better future for all children in our community. Visit our website at queencityrobotics.org to learn more.